This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Madeline Peru.
I've seen love go by my doors. Never been this close before. Never been so easy or so slow. Been shooting in the dark too long. When something's not right, it's wrong. You're gonna make me lonesome when you go. Dragon clouds so high above, I've only known careless love. It's always hit me from below. This time round it's more correct, right on target, so direct. You're gonna make me lonesome when you go. Purple clover and Queen Anne lace, crimson hair across your face. You could make me cry if you don't know. Can't remember what I'm thinking of. You might be spoiling me too much, love. You're gonna make me lonesome when you go. Flowers on the hillside blooming crazy. Crickets talking back and forth in rhyme. Blue river running slow and lazy. Oh, I could stay with you forever and never realize the time. Situations have ended sad. Relationships have all been bad. Mine have been like the lanes and Rambo. There's no way I'd compare all those scenes to this affair. You're gonna make me lonesome when you go. You're gonna make me wonder what I'm doing. Staying far behind. You're gonna make me wonder what I'm saying. Gonna make me give myself a good talking to. I look for you in old Honolulu, San Francisco and Ashtabula. Gonna have to leave me now, I know. I'll see you in the skies above, in the tall grass and the ones I love.
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. I'm very pleased to be joined today by Madeline Peru. It's great to see you.
Hi, John. Nice to meet you.
We want to tell listeners right off the top that we are doing this interview on the grounds of the Crown of the Continent Guitar Festival in Big Fork. So if you hear some extemporaneous noise, like we have some snare drums, a little sound check going on in the background, that's where we're at. But that's okay, because this is why we're doing the interview, is Madeline is here in Big Fork at the Crown of the Continent Festival as we do this recording in the first day of September. First of all, I guess we should mention the two most recent albums are Keep Me in Your Heart for a While and The Blue Room. I did some research for the interview and looked at your bio, and I think one of the quotes right at the top was, it's all about the song, which makes a lot of sense given your work. And I guess where I wanted to start with that is, you know, where I first came to your work, like a lot of folks, is your remarkable ability to interpret songs. So the obvious question to me is, which I ask to, you know, particularly to musicians who are, you know, adept at that particular talent, what brings you to a song?
It's probably, I think it's the most important thing for a singer is to build a repertoire. It's part of building the identity. It's part of learning to sing, actually. I mean, I remember, like, I would hear a song and go, I want to do that because I want to know what it feels like to sing those notes. An old Sarah Vaughan tune that is a very jazz standard type of tune. Well, I started singing it, and I remember the guitar player that was in the band was like, oh, you want to do that? Yeah, go ahead. And I remember thinking, wow, he didn't seem too excited. you know, and I realized it's like, not only is it a song that everybody knows, but it's just one of these jazz standards that like kind of isn't really that great lyrically, dramatically, but it's been done a lot because the music was beautifully written. So I had to let go, you know. It's almost like choosing a song is like has more to do with what you decide not to sing in the end. I think in the beginning it's good to just try to sing all kinds of songs, and I think that there's a learning process there, and then once you've learned them and sung them, see how far you can go with it on your own. And for me, there a pattern emerges where I kind of start to hear a song and go, okay, that's one that maybe I could do. Like, you start to become more aware of what your capacities are, what your strong suits are, because the human voice is really the most unique instrument. No one has the same voice on the planet, like a fingerprint. And everything about the voice is expressive. All the nuances are there. Every nuance that we have in any other instrument is there, except for chords, and even some people can do that. But the more you work on the voice, the more sounds you'll find that you can make. So my point was that when you get to a song that you find you can live in, when I get to a song that I find I can live in, I feel like I want to do that. There are songs that I love that I'll never be able to deliver. And then there are songs that I can deliver, can do well, you know, and I stick to making sure that I do that. I think kind of like any skill in life, and everybody has their own talents, and I think if you can figure out what it is that you do best and just try to do that one thing, then you can really excel at something.
Madeline, I want to go back to something you said earlier, and I may have to paraphrase, but essentially it was the concept of knowing as much what not to sing as what you can sing. I'm not sure if I'm putting that in the right way, but it brings me back to something else I'd come across in you know, reading through your bio and seeing some other interviews, that the concept of silence is real important to you as a musician.
Silence has its own presence, absolutely, I feel. It's maybe the only truth in music, really. It's sort of like every other sound is always playing off of that, hopefully. And if that's the case, then maybe silence is the whole point, is trying to understand it. And so you make noise to get there. You know, at what point, at what point do you come back to talking about what we're talking about is the question. But I love the idea that if you do something simple and you do it well, say sing one phrase, sing two words maybe that are really important, like for example, at last. What a great two-syllable phrase to open a song. And of course, I mean, I get chills hearing Etta James in my head, you know. That's it, like I'm done right there. And there's a pause between at last and the next thing that she sings that I think everybody is experiencing as much as they're experiencing the music. You know, that's in a sense, that's part of silence.
That we once knew,
they say the time heals a broken heart, but time has stood still since we've been apart.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm talking today with Madeline Peru. And just to remind listeners, we are at the Crown of the Continent Guitar Festival in Big Fork, and we are on the grounds. So if you hear some extemporaneous sounds in the background, I've got some sound check stuff going on. But that gives you a feel of being here present with us in early September at the Crown of the Continent Guitar Festival. Madeline, I wanted to talk to you about your early connection that you had with music. And you know, we talked before the interview, just kind of checking in on you know, that connection got you through some real hard times, and I just wanted to touch on that. And you know, I was struck by that story of how important your guitar was to you, to take it with you at a time when you were really hurting. Is that a fair thing to say?
It sounds like you know more than I thought you did, but. it's making me think of course, I mean, I got my guitar when I was a young teenager, and it really saved me from all of the other teenager craziness that I was into, like, you know, getting drunk and smoking hash and cutting class and also not having any, going to a new country, being in a new place, not speaking the language in France, and so having weird, having friends that I couldn't really talk to or whatever. And having that guitar was always helpful. And then I ran away from boarding school, and, you know, it was pretty clear that I couldn't carry all those stupid books. So, you know, what was the essential? And it was the guitar and a few clothes.
Madeline, I wanted to talk just a little bit about kind of your overall musical story and your journey. specifically the part of it that, you know, started when you joined the world of the record label, and where most people would say, oh, this is where it starts. Now, if anyone knows your story, they know that your story goes way back. As we've talked a little bit about, you know, music's early connection with you, you know, taking your music to the streets, learning in the age old tradition of busking, playing on the streets. And at some point there was this moment where you were, you know, I hate to use the word discovered, but a new path was open, let's put it that way. And I know you've talked a little bit about this in the past, of like how initially that was kind of you're not sure if you really wanted to take that path.
Yeah, that's true. I really didn't want to do that, but part of that was that I had no idea what it was about. I didn't really understand. I know that a guy came up to me at the end of a show when I was 17 with this swing band, and he said, hi, I'm from Atlantic Records. Here's my card. And I was like, well, I'm going back to Paris tomorrow, so thanks. You know, like, I had no idea what that was about. I remember going, what did he want? I was thinking to myself. I like really was oblivious to all of it. And a few years later, I got a phone call from this same person saying, it's me, come down and make a demo. I saw you 4 years ago and I've been looking for you. And I'm like, wow, it's amazing. I was back in New York, just happened to be staying in New York for, you know, reasons, like I was kind of lost. And I got that voice message. And then I started working with Yves Beauvais. This is the person I've been referring to as that guy, sorry to say. But Yves Beauvais really started everything. And he answered all of my questions. And he presented the life to me as best as he could. And he gave me a lot of honest things that I appreciate. For example, that a jazz musician can expect to have a career that lasts a really long time, whereas a pop singer can expect to build a career in a different way. And that was really practical advice, because then I thought, okay, always be aware that everywhere you go, you're building an audience that might be the audience that you're going to want to see when you're old and gray. It almost creates this moral imperative and awareness in life. It's the honor of playing for people is not really just for today. It's actually for your whole life. And maybe that's why it gave me so much purpose, and I just had to stick with it, because it's like, wow, this is really deep stuff that can happen if it's any good. Now, that's a whole other question. I don't know when it's good or not, but, you know, at least you have the intention. And if the intention's there, you know, that's something.
You.
to change up all those changes that I made when I left you. To change up all those changes that I made when I left you.
Am I right that there was a point where you kind of started down that path with, you know, record labels and the life as you described it, and then went back to busking and playing on the streets to kind of touch home base maybe?
I lost my voice during the middle of recording session for a second, would have been my second record with Atlantic Records. There was a combination of long touring that I wasn't used to, you know, schedules that I wasn't used to, and I didn't have that freedom and stuff that I had in playing on the street. So I would lose my voice after a couple of shows. I'd become hoarse after a couple of shows. That coupled with a lot of anxiety, a lot of sort of a psychological like block during the recording session of the second record, and I just sort of, my voice just went off, you know. And with that came the beginning of like an eight year long, I don't know, odyssey sort of traveling around. It's not that I went back to busking, although I did busk. I think what happened was that there was a combination of not having my voice. Then the record company said, well, we're not going to give you any tour support until you finish your record. And so there was no touring. So then I was booking my own shows and playing. And then I went to an agent and I said, hey, can you at least book me some shows? I got to make some money. And he said, not unless there's a record. And so then I was just playing and then I was getting jobs as a waitress and busking, and I was just a really bad waitress, and so then I got like a ridiculously bad, like I would technically I was losing money, like every day I was just technically like, and it's not because of the paycheck that I was losing money, but just like with the gas money and the fact that I was so bad and I got so many dinner orders wrong, and I ordered rice, not potatoes, and I like that's not even for me, and what is that? I couldn't work it was so bad. And I said, well, you'll be a better hostess. So I became the hostess that could just say hello and seat them at their table. And then I walked into this place nearby with my guitar, and it was like, boom, you're hired, solo act, 5 nights a week. Just come in and play. We'll give you dinner, and I'll give you cash at the end of the night, and it's guaranteed. It's not like one gig or maybe the next. It's 5 nights a week? Really?
It's a rainy Sunday with a waning moon. Ernest Hemingway's got an empty plume. Maybe in the morning or afternoon, but the party ought to be coming soon. Lists are too long, dreams too slow. Louis Armstrong's getting too sad to blow. Don't wanna forget the good things I used to know. The party ought to be coming through. Coming soon, coming soon. The party ought to be coming soon. The towns are gonna sing and swing and swoon. The whole wide world in a big saloon. The party ought to be coming soon. I work bone tied, the reason's hidden. Man, Richard Pryor wasn't kidding. In any little hellhole you gotta live in. And the party ought to be freely given. There'll be a long parade down every street. The Fedestale will come down and stomp with all 4 feet. Every face looks gonna grin on everyone you meet. The party ought to be so complete. Ought to be coming soon. The town's gonna sing, swing and swoon. Gonna get the whole wide world in a big saloon. Yes, the party ought to be coming. Opens up and the flowers bloom. When the babies are grown, I want there to be room to share my memory of an American tune. The party ought to be coming soon. Coming soon. Coming soon. Party ought to be coming soon. The towns are gonna sing, swing and swoon. They're gonna get the whole wide world in a big saloon. For the party ought to be
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. We're speaking today with Madeline Peru. It's been a real treat to get a chance to talk shop with you here at the Crown of the Continent Guitar Festival. Let folks know that's where we're at again. So hear a little music in the background there. Actually, we'll just tell folks, Lee Ritenour and Dave Grues and doing their sound check. There's worse things to... Yeah, I'm not sure. But a real treat to get a chance to talk shop with you and kind of hear a little bit about what your journey's been like. And I hope we get a chance to meet again and get a chance to see where the journey's taken you down the road.
Yeah, well, thank you, John. You're so fun to talk to. Thank you very much for having me.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Madeline Peru. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us on Facebook as well. Our program is now available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Crown of the Continent Guitar Festival for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.